Hey, this is Alex Terranova, and this is the Dream Mason Podcast. We've been taught to behave, to fit in, to follow the rules, but Dream Masons reject conventional thought. Dream Masons are rebels. They take a chisel to the marble that is typical traditional life. They carve out brilliance and broadcast it to the world. Join me for another chapter as we unmask convention, embrace the rebels within us, and more deeply come to explore the complex and agitated edges of our existence. Now, before we get started, please don't be a rebel yet and grab your phone and hit that little button that says subscribe. Thank you. Because your dreams don't build themselves.
What's up? And welcome back to the Dream Mason Podcast. I am your host, Alex Terranova. I want to start today. I was just up in Los Angeles visiting my parents. They just got vaccinated and were like, can you get up here and see us? We haven't seen you in a year, which was really, really, really nice and cool to be able to see them. Because like I said, it's been a year and I know a lot of people have been dealing with things like that. But while I was up there, I actually got to spend some time with like some old friends. And two friends that I spent some time with were like friends I met in high school, which is crazy to think that we've known each other for like 25 years. And then I also spent some time with my first friend from first grade, which is even insaner. I don't know how many years that's been. I don't know how old you are in first grade, but it's got to be 30 something, you know, I don't know, 35 years or something. But we had this really cool conversation about his grandmother had passed and they had to clean out the house. And like, he was sharing with me the story of how, you know, they go through things. There's things that have sentimental value that the family keeps, but most of what's in the house, you know, maybe you sell it. Most of it just goes to like essentially charity or junk places. And he said it was a real wake-up call to see these trucks pull up to the house, this house that we spent all this childhood in. You know, his grandparents had a beautiful house in LA. And all the things in that house, not all of them, but a lot of things in that house get loaded up to trucks, into trucks that say 1-800-JUNK. And he's like, man, that's what your life equates to. And obviously, I think like, you know, his grandmother had an impact on his life, on my life. I remember her. She's like the sweetest woman. But at the end of the day, when you're gone, all your stuff is left. And him and I were talking about how we're so conditioned to work hard and make money and get and buy. And for what? Like, for what? So all that stuff can go into junk trucks at the end of the day. And it made me think about clients. You know, a lot of clients show up to want to work with me and they want to make more money. And it's like, but why do you want to make more money? Or they're making a lot of money and they want to scale. And it's like, but why do you want to scale? What's in it for you to scale? What are you missing that you don't have? Is it just so you can get more stuff, more vacations, bigger houses, nicer cars? Or is there like another reason? And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But what I assert and what I believe and what I saw with my friend was, what really matters was relationships, a depth, not just having them, but the depth of them. How connected are you with people? How deep do you go? How much love, friendship, connection, intimacy, vulnerability is there? And that can't be acquired from money or stuff. And it just has me thinking about, you know, like those moments, like what really matters. We run through our day. We stress out about like, oh, I can't spend time with my kids, or I don't have any kids, but I have a dog. And it's like, do you have enough time? Do you spend your time with them? Or are you just rushing off to the next thing? Because at the end of the day, all that stuff that you're rushing off to, guessing isn't going to matter, you know, to a degree, right? We need to have safety, shelter, food, air, water, and some basic things. But the excess of it all seems like we've been brainwashed to buy and work harder and harder and harder so we can buy. And the people that we work harder and harder for ultimately get to do the same thing on the higher levels. So I share this because I've been thinking a lot about it. It's come up with a lot with my clients, but my guest today also has, there's a piece of this that I want to talk to him about. So let me tell you a little bit about who is joining us today. His name is Joshua Matthews. He's the founder and CEO of Independence Boost. They specialize in credit repair and funding. He also founded a digital marketing company like right out of college. Basically, it was they niched down and they were working with chiropractors across the U.S. for 4 years, helping them market. He's from Indiana. He lives in Indiana. He's 25 years old. I love talking to people that are, you know, 25 and up to something cool, whatever it is, but on like building something themselves. Because I know when I was 25, I was working for somebody else. I was drinking too much. I was obsessed with, you know, what car I drove and what girl I was dating. I wasn't focused on actually building anything. I wasn't focused on anything that I would say is outside of ego. So to learn from somebody who's young is, I think, a gift, but also to see what they're up to see what they're doing, and to see how we can take things away from their journey. And something that really stuck out to me as I was reading his story is he described the most difficult challenge that he'd ever overcome was his mom passing away when he was 19 and being with her through the end. So welcome to the show, Joshua Matthews. How you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me, Alex.
Yeah. I told you before we'd start, so I wasn't going to hit you with this like a surprise. But as I was looking at that, you know, you shared with me a little about how you were with her at the end, right? And you were with her through the process of her passing. Can you just tell us a little about that? And then we can come back around. But I think this is, again, like, I think this conversation is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So when I was 19, my mom passed away, and it was from breast cancer. So she was battling cancer for about 9 years. Wow. And I was actually a freshman in college when I was 19. So I was freshly new into college, kind of just, you know, going through the motions, you know, partying, meeting people, going to classes, just trying to get adjusted. And during that time, about, you know, the first couple months into school, my mom started getting, the cancer started getting worse, like just tremendously, just started taking over her body, from the point of going in the hospital to getting out on an oxygen tank and then going back in and not coming back out. So during that time, as she was in there, you know, it's a tough time for me, just because I'm 19. I'm also trying to handle school. I'm also trying to figure out the business world. I was really starting to dive into personal development, you know, business, my networking, my relationships, all those things. And so it's just kind of a lot, and not to count family issues that comes with, you know, when people get sick and all those different things, because especially for me, I have always been the one that had to like solve problems. Even though I'm not the oldest in my family, people always come for me for advice, even like older family members. I'm just that black sheep in the family. So during that time, November is actually when she passed away, and it was a weird time frame for me, just because I knew that was coming. So part of me was kind of preparing, and it's a totally different mindset that you have to get into compared to, say, if something just happens unexpectedly. It's like, you know, this is coming. Like there's no way she was going to get better. And we kind of just came to the decision to basically say, hey, like, let's let her be at peace, because there's literally no way she's going to recover from this. And I'll always remember this, just the imagery, like very vividly, like for the rest of my life, because it was a time that I seen their spirit leave this earth, see my mom take her last breath, seen her literally her last tear. My little sister, my dad, who I don't have a really good relationship with, was there. And she had her last tear at her very last breath. And at that moment, that's when things pretty much shifted for me, because I realized life is short. She was only like 42 years old. And she always put others before herself, never argue, never complain. I actually have that tattoo on my arm. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. It's a Bible scripture. And I have that because even through my mom's whole process, she never complained at all. She would do what she had to do, go to work, go to chemo. She even had to take the bus to work back and forth to chemo as well. So to see her take her last breath, have her last tear, not really live the life that she deserved, it really did something for me to the point of like making me really realize I have to like take advantage of this life because it's not long. Like we may think it's a long life, but it goes by fast. So.
What did that change for you in relationship to, you know, you said you were in college and like college on its own is a new experience, losing your mom at the same time. You were talking about being like starting businesses at the same time. I know I wasn't trying to start a business when I was in college, and you're not the first person that's come on the show and talked about that, like doing these things at the same time. What did it change for you though, in the way that you addressed college and business, like having this experience with your mom?
Yeah. So funny, because I knew since I just got into like personal development and reading books and all these different things, my mind started to expand. So like when I got into college, right when I got in, I knew I did not want to be there. I just didn't have the leverage yet to basically tell my family, hey, I'm done with school. And I think college, for me, I'm glad I went. I met all my best friends there. That was like the best part of it. And I grew a lot. The education part, not so much for me specifically. But it was when my mom passed away, going through all of that, it really kind of made me focus less on school because I knew what I wanted to do. And it motivated me to kind of go towards more like what I wanted to do, and that's business. So I kind of put school on the back burner a little bit and just did what I had to do to get by. Like I just got by every single year up until I dropped out of school. But it was definitely a tough time, you know, trying to balance that and try to figure things out, because I would go to class. I would listen to the teachers here and there, but I'll also open my laptop in class and do my own thing. So it was tough to kind of balance, but it really motivated me to focus more on the business side of things.
Thanks for sharing like just the experience of that. I've never had that experience quite like that. I've had like one, you know, I've lost grandparents, but I think you're supposed to lose grandparents. Like it's sad, but that's like how it's supposed to go. We're not supposed to lose, you know, our parents at 40. I'm really, how does it change the way you relate to, right? You saw your mom, you heard what I started with. Like, how does it change the way you relate to money? Right. Cause you know, your mom didn't get to take anything with her. It didn't change. Right. It was just you guys sitting there. How do you do relationships different, or even run a business different because of that, if you do?
Yeah. So specifically with the first part of money, it really changed everything for me, my whole mindset with things, because luckily my mom had insurance on her flesh, life insurance. So I got a good amount of money for a 19-year-old. I like just dropped in my bank account, and it really helped me grow up and kind of realize how to manage money. And it also changed my perspective, because one thing that's big for me is creating generational wealth. So with me, of course, I went through that tragic experience, but luckily my mom handled some of her business before she left to be able to leave myself and my little sister something. And that's been my main goal. Ever since that point, I realized the power of leaving something behind from my mom's passing. I was like, I have to, like, that's why I go so hard. Like, I have to leave something behind, because if I didn't have anything, I wouldn't have been able to go to the places that I want to go, or network with the right people, or invest in the right programs, or invest in my business. And then also when it comes to relationships, it really made me dig a little deeper. Because I did realize that, you know, I have, not everyone is here forever. So, you know, even if it's people that you briefly meet, like, do whatever you can in those moments to connect with that person, because you never know how it's going to change your life. And, you know, I'm really big on the impression of increase. So any person that you come across and that you meet, do whatever that you can to leave an impression of increase. So basically have them leave that interaction with you saying like, dang, like, you know, that really helped me, even though or that person made me smile. Whatever it may be, it could be something very, very small. You know, it really made me realize that I have to leave everyone that I come across with the impression of increase, because it could literally change your life and it could also change mine.
Let's transition a little bit and talk about business. So in college, out of college, you started a business like right out the get-go. And like I shared, I don't think most people in college are thinking about how can I start a business while I'm in school. There's probably a lot more now than there used to be. And obviously in the tech world, a lot of people do it. But most people are worried about their frats, their football teams, you know, their grades. You came out, or you created this business with your former partner, this digital marketing agency. People that are 30, 40, 50 are afraid to like launch their own businesses. What gave you guys like the courage and the confidence to like, we can start a business and we can actually make money? And you said you shared with me before, like, and you hit six figures. It's not like you made a little bit of money. You guys built something at 19 years old, 20 years old, that hit six figures. And for people listening, if you don't realize, like, the average person makes like 50 grand a year. So at 19, 20, you doubled in a business what people make. Mm-hmm. What gave you, you know, what, how did you guys even have the balls, for lack of a better word, to do this?
Yeah. So, before the marketing agency, actually at 19, I got started with network marketing. So that was kind of like my start.
Okay.
I did network marketing. I did that for a few years. So I was with one company. It went well. I got to travel for the first time, got into personal development, really started to expand my mind. I made a little bit of money, but my mindset expanded. That was the biggest wealth that I got from that experience. And then I went to a different network marketing company after that, which I did that for about a year or so, until I came to the point of, you know, I actually want to start my own thing. Like I need to build my own thing. Like this is too reliant on other people. I feel like I got everything that I needed from this. And now it's time for me to transition into my next stepping stone. And I kind of took a break just from business in general for about 2 months, just to be able to think and strategize on what I wanted to do next. And during that time, which was 2016, about fall of 2016, I started to follow Ty Lopez. And during that time, he was really talking about the next trend, so social media marketing. And obviously during that time, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I started to do my own research. And it started to really click and make sense. I started to go to different businesses in the area of social media, and I was seeing a need that needed to be filled, especially in the small college town that I was in. It's not like Indianapolis where they're ahead of the curve. It's a small town and people just weren't doing those type of things. So I just made the decision. I was like, okay, this is going to be it. So once he drops his program in October of 2016, I have $1,000. I have that, you know, lump sum of money. And I made the decision that I'm not going to blow this money. I'm going to invest it in courses, traveling, events, et cetera. So I had $1,000. I invested $1,000 into the course. And then I went to my college roommate, where we were roommates all 4 years of school. And I was like, hey, like I found my next move, because I was already talking to him about it. I was like, this is what I'm about to do. I got the course. I'm going to do it with it or without you. But I do see a lot in you. I see, you know, a winner in you, and you're the only person I'm going to ask about this. So if you decide to do it with me, cool. If not, no worries. And he was actually doing dishes when I was having this full conversation with him. And he was like, all right, let's do it. And he was also a Division I track athlete as well. So he was like, all right, let's do it. And then literally from there, we just went all in. Got our first client, got our first check for like $4,000 a month. for one of our first clients. And then after that, we just literally started going around the whole town door to door and trying to find clients, really not knowing what we were doing at all. But we were just like, all right, let's collect the money and then figure it out after. Like, don't have to worry about the how. Let's just make it happen.
I love that. But that people don't get that the how is what stops everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, decide you're going to write a book or start a business. Decide you're going to make a documentary. Decide you're going to get married or have kids. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. And then start taking action, right? Like, I'm knocking on doors. I'm trying to get money. I'm going to pre-sale my book, whatever. I'm going to go on a million dates if that's the thing you want, is to find somebody. And then you figure out the how kind of ends up figuring itself out, in a sense, because unless somebody's done exactly what you want to do, mm-hmm. now you can copy them, but then it's just going to be a copy. You know, you took a course and then you went and figured it out. So yeah, there's some stuff that you learned, and then there's some stuff that you had to figure out on your own. Mm-hmm. I also know that most people, it's a high percentage, I wish I knew the number, who buy courses don't do them.
Yep.
Which is insane. So like Ty Lopez, he sells like probably, I mean, he's huge, right? So he sells probably thousands and thousands of courses. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 80% or something. It's some stupid number of people that spend $1,000 never actually do the course.
Yep.
But you did do it.
Yeah. Went straight through it. Just, I was consumed because, yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think the difference is between you and your buddy and your former business partner and people who buy these things and don't do them? Like, what made you guys do it, actually take the action?
So for me, it was a very logical, like for me, it's a very logical thing for me to do. So I was comparing it. So I was going to school, I was going to these classes, and I was not learning how to generate income. I took this $1,000 course, and I made $4,000 30 days later.
Yeah.
So logically, I was just comparing it and I was like, wow, this is the cheat code. Like, why would I pay $20,000, $40,000 to go to school when I could spend $1,000 on a course and potentially make multiple thousands of dollars at 19, 20, 21 years old and really build a business? So, and once I grasped that concept, I was like, this makes sense. So once something makes sense to me, I just go all in. I'm a very, like, once I make a decision on something, I'm just very like all in. And there was honestly there was no other option for me as well. So that kind of motivated me to go through everything and also apply everything, because there's literally no other option. Like, I've already made my decision, so I can't go back on it. I can't digress. I have to progress to where I want to go.
So now, and then you leave that company though, and now you have a credit repair and funding business. And here's the thing that people will do is they're like, I don't know anything about credit repair or funding. How can I start that business? Mm-hmm. So answer that question. How did you, what got you into that? And how did you, again, I'm going to take on this business that I gather you're not an expert on credit repair and funding. You might be now, but you weren't when you started.
Yeah. So backtrack about 3.5 years ago, I bought another course. I bought like every Ty Lopez course. So he had a credit course that another guy was teaching. And I actually learned how to repair my own credit. And I learned how to get access to different credit lines. And I was able to get access to about $70,000 in credit lines about 3 years ago. And I was able to figure out how to wipe off some late payments and different stuff off of my credit report. So it started there. So at that point, it just interests me. It sparked my interest because I'm also, I'm big into lifestyle. Like, that's one of the biggest reasons that attracts me to this business, because a lot of people don't know how to like utilize the system in order to have different perks. And that's what really like excites me about it. Yes, I love helping people, but there's also like the excitement lifestyle part of it that just really gets me going. So it started there. And then about March of 2020, around about a whole year ago, with our chiropractic agency, in March, we were kind of in the dark of where things were going to go. So in 2020, the pandemic started. We just stopped charging all of our clients. We had about 15 clients, stopped charging them because they couldn't have people come in, and we didn't feel comfortable at the beginning of the pandemic to still charge them, you know, $2,000 a month plus ad spend and all these different things. So we were kind of like at a standstill and like, okay, we need to figure out what we're going, like, we get at least got to see it over this hump. Let's wait it out a few more months, or either sunset or sunrise this business and keep it going. But we also kind of need to have some type of like safety net. So it clicked. And I was on Instagram looking at someone who had a credit repair business, and he kind of gave some insight on how to run a credit repair business, and it clicked. So I just went, did my research. I was like, okay, this is what I went to my business partner. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to invest this little bit amount of money. We're going to get all the softwares that we need. We're going to learn the credit repair business. We'll work on some people's stuff for free. I've already done it myself, but I didn't really do it how a credit repair business should be ran. So I did it with myself personally. And so we just started taking on clients. So it started out with just going to family members, started getting some results. And then luckily though, the agency picked it back up, and we started charging our clients again about May. And but since things started to pick up, we actually kept doing the credit repair business, but we eventually stopped it and shut everything back down, finished all of our clients that we had on, shut everything back down, because our agency just skyrocketed. We went from 13 clients to 90 third quarter of 2020. So it's literally impossible to scale two businesses at once. I wouldn't say impossible, but I just don't recommend that for anyone, because I believe in focus and focusing on that one thing. So that's how I kind of got my start and my knowledge. And really, I got my foot in the door of how to actually build a credit repair business. And then once I left my agency, it just made sense. I was like, I'm good at this. So this is the fastest way for me to get back.
But it's really the same thing as, like you said, I'm going to just do something. Like, I'm just going to do something, and it doesn't matter if I know about it or don't, I can learn about it. Mm-hmm. And same thing, right? Like when you're talking about college and Tai Lopez courses, college does the same thing. Now, a lot of people go to college because we don't know what we want to do, right? So we're wandering aimlessly through this place, taking classes that don't actually serve us in any way, shape, or form. Maybe they help us learn or expand our brain. But, you know, I took some classes in college that, like, there was no business I was going to make out of it, right? It was just like learning. And then if you want to become a doctor, a lawyer, lots of other things, maybe business, marketing, there's ways that you could actually learn things that transfer to money. But what I hear that you did is, I want to run a business. I want to start a business. So I took a course that opened that door for me. And then I just started. And yeah. I didn't do the thing that most people do, which is sit in the fear, sit in the, I don't know how, sit in the, well, what do I do? How do I do it? How do I get clients? You just started. You literally just took action and put one foot in front of the other. And to your point, like, it didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You built it, and then all of a sudden, you know, something pops, basically. I said to someone the other day, you know, when you make popcorn, all those kernels don't pop at the same time. Mm-hmm. The ones that pop later aren't better or worse than the ones that pop sooner.
Yep.
But every kernel is going to pop when it's good and ready. And I think that's a really important lesson for people in business. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're starting a business, whether it be like yours or mine, it might take you a year, it might take you six, it might take you 10 to really pop. But consider, like, you popped when you were supposed to. You needed to go through that journey. If you had popped early or didn't pop, that had its own consequences.
Exactly.
What do you want people to know, you know, young people, older people, to know about, like, chasing after things you want, like building, going after your goals, you know, doing things that you don't know how to do? What do you want them to know and understand?
Man, the biggest thing, because I'm actually, the biggest thing I would say is that, and it kind of relates to what you were saying earlier, like, the how does not matter, because every big jump that I've had is by not knowing how I was going to do something. So it all comes down to just making the decision. Like, once you make just the firm decision and then you implement action behind it, things will happen. So, like, even here's a very clear example. At the end of 2018, we kind of got deterred and distracted from the agency and started to go on a different route, but kind of got scammed in a way, and kind of deterred from the agency for a little bit. Luckily, it was only for about 4 months. And so we found out, you know, this guy that we were going to like really dive deep into and work with wasn't who he said he was going to be. And we basically had to start back at zero again with our agency. And we ended up going to 10X, and with just on credit cards, we had no money at that point because we put everything to the side for about 4 months and went to 10X. And we kept hearing like Grant and another speaker, they was like, you know, if you don't have an office, you don't have a business. And then this is also, we decided to niche down as well. And so we was like, okay, we heard that like three or four times in Miami at 10X. He was like, all right, we're going to get an office. Like, we need to stop working at home. We need to kind of change our environment. We need to do a little bit something different than we were doing in the past year. Let's get an office. But we had no money for an office. We just spent all of our money to go to 10X. We even spent money for our team to go to 10X, like our videographers and photographers, just because we wanted them to have the experience. And so we literally get back and we're like, okay, we got to get an office. So we went to go take tours of different offices downtown, kind of price things out, but we didn't have any money. So luckily, we just happened to come across like $14,000, which helped us pay for the office. But we didn't have any furniture. So we were literally going to be in an empty, we signed a lease on the office and we had no furniture. We were going to be in an empty office, but we was like, we're going to have an office. Like, we have this vision. This is what it's going to be. And basically what happened was we picked up a CBD client just for 1 month, just to make a little bit of income. And they happened to, they were shutting down their furniture store. So they had a bunch of furniture that they need to get rid of. And we did such a good job. They said, oh, you're having an office? Here's furniture. We got couches. We got tables. They gave us camera equipment. They gave us 4 MacBook computers. They gave us whiteboards. So now our office was furnished. And that all came, that's one little small example of like something that's happened over my journey. Like, it doesn't matter how it's going to happen. If you just say, no, this is going to happen. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, I believe it. No one can deter me from my belief. And the people, the resources, and the opportunities are going to present themselves to you no matter what, as long as you keep putting one step in front of the other. And that's honestly the summary of like my whole journey. Like, I never know how I'm going to do anything. I just say I'm going to do it. And then I just take the action. Even with, I know how to build a business now. So with the credit repair, I've done things now that it only took me a few weeks to do that it probably take other people who are just starting like a long time to accomplish these things. But you know, it's, you just got to make the decision and do it. And the things will come across. You just have to, again, like I said, just make the decision and go all in. Like, don't do it. Just submerge yourself into the pressure.
What do you get scared of? What, like, when you say this, but what scares you? What, like, tries to knock you off track? And when you feel that, like, what do you do to get yourself back on track?
Man, what scares me? Someone asked me this question a few weeks ago, and I told them I've already faced one of my fears. So one of my fears is my mom passing. So that's why I kind of feel like I have like such a callus now for a lot of things. But one thing that does scare me is being like, I guess, quote unquote, average in my mind. So like, no matter what, like just the image of thinking of myself being average. So going back, not following this path, like that scares me, or something happening to where I have to take a break, you know, from entrepreneurship to go do something else. Like, that really scares like the crap out of me. Like, which is why I just put everything into it. And I just do what I need to do. Because honestly, just being average, like ever since I was young, I've had this vision in my mind and I'm literally willing to do anything that I have to do to make it come true. Like, anything except for things that are unethical, of course, but I'm willing to do anything.
What are the things that show up in your mind? You know, for like, I know for me, and clients and other people, business owners, like a lot of what's happening in here in our minds is what messes us up in our businesses and our relationships. Like, you know, so for me, I do a lot of like, man, what's the point of all this? Like, well, I don't even care. Like, and that's not really true. And that's not what I'm committed to, but that's what my mind automatically does from default. A lot of people have like this, I'm a failure. I don't want to fail. I'm a fraud. I'm not good enough, not worthy of this. What does your mind tell you that you have to deal with and overcome?
Man, what goes through my mind is, it's a good question. What goes through my mind is on a daily, honestly, I'll say this because I have a good example. I actually had to call a friend last night because like right now, like just the concept of rebuilding in my mind is kind of scary for me, even though I know everything is happening exactly how they should be right now. It's just going slow because it is a process. And I have to tell myself, like, you know, it took me 4 years to get to the point I've always wanted to be. So I got to just kind of be patient. I'm only 2 months in to my new business. So I had to like call a friend last night because I was just like, you know, my mind was kind of just not playing tricks, but it was just like, you know, like, is this worth it? Because even 2 weeks ago, I met a guy who has a funding company outside of Indianapolis, and I got on the phone with him, just like kind of talk and build a connection. And the bank referred me over to him, and he seen what I was doing, and he actually offered me the opportunity to work with him, kind of like as a partner, as an independent contractor, which I could easily, like a six-figure position, but I'm not doing it because, you know, and honestly, it's been coming up in my mind lately. I'm like, damn, am I crazy? Like, but it doesn't align with my long-term vision because there's a lot of, you know, details that, you know, I won't be able to do if I work with this guy. So for me, it's kind of just like, you know, especially now, it's like, is it worth it? But I always come back to say, yeah, it is. Like, it is worth it. Like, I have this vision that I still have to see out. Like, even if opportunities like that come across, it sounds good, but does it align with where I want to be in the next 5 years? And I have to, like, consistently, like, tell myself that, like, does this align with 5, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And if the answer is no, then got to keep. I keep doing my thing.
So it's not about the like what feels good or what do I want to do right now. It's actually you making choices in the now that line up with the future that you want to create.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's part of the reason why I left my last company. Because we grew so fast. It was everything that we envisioned for four years. Like it's everything that we envisioned. But once I got there, it didn't feel like right for my future. So I had to make the tough decision to, you know, kind of, you know, basically just leave my business partner, let him continue to build the company, something that we went broke for, cried for, like put everything on the line for, because it just did not align with where I saw myself 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Let's look at like your business really quick. Like, what do you think makes a good, you know, CEO, founder? Like, what are you trying to live into in that area?
Yeah, so I think personally, what makes a good CEO just in general is someone who can really execute. Well, because the team executes. The CEO is someone who can lay out the vision and transfer that vision to the team in order to execute. Because when it comes to the CEO, the big thing for that person is to be innovative and also be a great relationship builder, because that is like the number one key in just business in general. That's the reason why the agency grew so fast, because of the relationships. It just literally meeting one to two key people blew our whole business up. And that goes with anything. And that's kind of the same approach that I'm taking with this newer business. Like right now, the credit stuff, like doing all that stuff, that's easy. And I'm right now I'm training up someone to VA to take all that stuff off my hand, because my main goal right now is to meet with people. Like business is a people, at least the one that I'm in is a people business. So I need to be out there meeting with people, meeting with important people. So that way I can set the company up to see growth 3, 6, 9 months from now.
What do you think makes, when you think about making this company grow, what do you think makes, like, what are the kind of people that you want to bring on? How do you determine that? And how do you factor, like, how will you hire and determine how you bring them in?
Yeah, so for one, definitely it's mission-driven people. So people who see something, or people that can, who see themselves growing with the company. Like that's one big thing, because if you have people that, and you're working with people that they don't see themselves growing with the company, they'll only hold you back. And then like even just personalities in general as well. Like in my companies, in this guy, I do personality tests. Like you have to be able to mesh with the people that you're working with. You have to be able to know how to identify personalities, how to work with certain people. This person might react this way to something, and this person might react this way to something totally different. So like, I like to know those things when it comes to anyone that I'm working with, even business partners. I want to know your personality test. Like, I need to know what kind of person that you are. And just so then that way we can work better together, because I believe that if everyone knows how each other works, if everyone knows each other's personalities, then we can all move forward and work together, instead of someone trying to do something that is not even in their, you know, capability and competence of doing. You know, we can all just move forward and have our own certain roles and do what we need to do to move forward.
I want to give you an opportunity to just, I mean, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you feel like you need to say or share, or anything that you've learned that you know, sometimes I think like, hey, what would you have wanted to know 5 years ago when you're starting out that you know now that you could share with people?
Yeah. So, great question. Cause I've had this conversation with people multiple times the past few weeks as well. Cause I have the opportunity to do it again now. So what I wish I would have known is basically one, how to identify quickly who to invest in and who to listen to. Because if you invest and listen to the wrong person, it can set you back 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. If you're not able to identify people that align with you and people who actually know what they're talking about. Like that's one big thing, because there's so much noise out here. Like you just need to be able to identify that. The next step is basically just making the decision to go all in. Like no matter what, like don't listen to family, don't listen to friends, like believe in what you're doing. Because if 99% of the time, if you're listening to people who aren't doing what you want to do, how can they even possibly give you good advice on what you should do? And then the next thing is basically document your process. And this is a mistake that why the agency took so long to grow for us, because we did not document our process. We didn't document our systems until 2020. So 4 years in, we finally started to do that. So like that's one big thing. Even when you're starting out, whatever it may be, even if it's something small, even if it's a side hustle, like document every single process, because you don't want to get to the point of where you grow too fast and now you have to backtrack and try to document everything. Like do it as you're starting out, so then that way you can continuously fine tune. So you're prepping yourself for that growth. So like for me, I was like, you know, what can I do now? What would I do differently? I haven't even started running ads or anything for my business. It's all word of mouth, because I'm taking the time to just document. Yes, it's making things a lot slower for me. Yes, I can run ads. Like I did it for 4 years. Like I can press my buttons and generate income. but I'm choosing not to do that because my processes aren't set. And I don't, the one thing I don't want to happen right now is grow too fast when I'm basically the one working in my business at the moment.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you coming on here and like letting me jump in and get real personal with you right from the start. I don't remember who said it, but it's like most of our business problems are actually personal problems. Mm-hmm. Disguised, right? We don't see it. And, you know, coming on here, being vulnerable, sharing what's going on that went on with you and your family and what you had to overcome, I think is a really helpful lesson. And I appreciate the vulnerability and the honesty. And, you know, someone like your mom has got to be proud that she had a son that would sit there with her and be with her through this experience and is using her life to make his life different and make other people's lives different. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for being young and taking this on, you know, not waiting for life to hand it to you, but for saying like, hey, I'm going to go create it. I'm going to go get what I want. I'm going to go make it happen and not waiting till you're like 40 or 50 or dead before you make that decision. I want to let people know where they can find you, reach out to you. I actually have it in front of me. So if they want to check out your credit repair and funding business, they can go to Independence Boost, spelled exactly how it sounds, independenceboost.com. And you're on Twitter at Joshua C. Matthews, J-O-S-H-U-A, the letter C, Matthews. You're on Instagram, Josh C. Matthews. And what's on your YouTube channel?
Man, so right now I'm actually in the process of preparing to rebuild out my YouTube. So I actually have videos on there, like vlogs I did from like 4 years ago when I like first started my journey. So right now I just have that stuff, but what will be coming up on my YouTube is more kind of just day-to-day stuff. And then also just 1 or 2 minute videos just documenting my process, because one thing that I've found out is that it's always good to at least record something, put something out there, even if you just let it sit, so then that way you can look at it 5 years from now. So if you do decide to start that documentary, you have content.
Funny. It's so true. I record a ton of stuff. Some of it I use, some of it I don't. But when I look back, I talk to a lot of people who want to start podcasts and they'll come to me and ask me questions or for advice. And I'm like, you're going to suck. It's going to suck when you start. You're going to suck. It's going to sound, you know, maybe it won't sound bad if you buy good equipment, but like, mm-hmm. You're not going to be the person you'll grow into. When I go back and I listen to the first, you know, 10, 20 episodes, mm-hmm. like a whole different show. So it's like, and I'm so glad I would never take them down. Sometimes I'll tell people that, like, go listen to my first few episodes. They're a mess mm-hmm. in all sorts of ways, but you know, that's how we get. The only way to get better is to practice.
Exactly.
Start something new. You suck at it. That's how it goes. It's not weird. Exactly. Joshua Matthews, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing your journey with us and your story. Appreciate you. Hopefully you will hit 7, 8, 9 figures, blow this thing up, create a life and a legacy for your family. And we can have you come back and tell that next part two of your story.
Appreciate it. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Had a great time. And just everyone out there listening, you know, not only my episode, you know, I'm sure Alex has a bunch of great stuff out there, and I've actually took some listens to a few people. So I'm just really honored to just be here and be on this episode and looking forward to seeing your growth as well.
Thank you. Everybody listening, please share this episode with a friend or listen, you know, good. I said that weird, but if you didn't get value from this, which I hope you did, and I know there's value in it, who do you know that needs to hear this episode? I love when I mess up and I just keep going. I'm going to leave that in because that's what's real. So yeah, who do you know that needs to hear this episode? Who can learn something from this? Who's a young entrepreneur or who's somebody that's stuck in a job that maybe they don't like and they're afraid to get started, but there's somebody, and maybe you sharing this with them will make all the difference. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting my journey, the podcast, and my guests, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening. Honestly, I'm just a rebel who found a cause and has a dream, and I'm super grateful for your support. If you got anything from this, please help me out and share this podcast with one person today.
You can find me at thedreammason.com or at inspirationalalex on Instagram. You are a dream mason because your dreams don't build themselves.